Hello and welcome to the Pod Well Travelled. I'm Penny Thomas, and today in the studio I'm joined by fashion writer and stylist Megan French and our travel and motoring editor Stephen Scarfield. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi.
I think you should mention that she's a Formula One tragic as well.
Yes, if you can't tell. Oh, actually, Megan is in the studio wearing her favourite Ferrari jacket that you purchased in Sydney, wasn't it?
Yeah, in Sydney from a vintage store. So,
this
sort of one of my favourite pieces.
Colourful marshmallow.
Yes.
Team so Ferrari.
The reason that she is wearing that is because we will be delving into the wonderful world of Formula One and its impact on travel. The reason we're doing this is because the Australian Grand Prix recently took place in Melbourne over the weekend, and it attracted close to 500,000 fans, I believe, that made their way to Albert Park to attend the four-day event. So the race itself was a little bit exciting because the favourite Max Verstappen had to retire early on because his brakes caught fire, and that meant it opened it up to other teams, and Ferrari's Carlos Sainz ended up winning the event, which was a really big effort because he only got his appendix taken out 2 weeks before. And then I might also add that his teammate Charles Leclerc came in second, and then Lando Norris from McLaren came in third, and then Australia's Oscar Piastri, who is Lando's teammate, came in fourth. Daniel Ricciardo was a little bit further down the list, but that's okay. So what did you guys think of the race in Melbourne?
That's brilliant. I love that. He came down the list, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It's all about participating.
Well, yeah, and he's from Perth, where we are.
Well, actually, it's not, but anyway. Sorry.
He gets a lot of flack, so we'll lay off him for a little while.
Yeah, it was a shame that he didn't get a podium on his home race, but yeah, so it was an eventful race. I think Max's situation was unfortunate, but it was a welcome change for F1 fans who are kind of a bit over his dominance. It made the race a bit more exciting. Obviously, as a Ferrari fan, two couldn't be happier.
I love it that you're saying all that with a straight face. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a welcome change for Ferrari as well, because I think Ferrari fans have had it tough the last year or so with a lot of poor performance and poor strategy. But yeah, it was a great eventful race.
And Stephen, what did you think?
Similar. You know, it's always nice to see different teams hitting their straps, you know, and see Ferrari doing well there. The cars were absolutely on point for that event. It's so interesting, isn't it, that you can look back to the Mercedes dominance of, you know, previous eras, and it just ends like that, and then someone else comes through. I mean, that's part of the joy of rule changes and just team dynamics.
Mm. And it almost seems unimaginable when they're at their height, like Red Bull for where they are now. Right. You think they can't be knocked off, but obviously they can.
That's right. Why it took everyone by surprise, right. Max's situation.
It was great. And we all love Ferrari. I mean, you have to love Ferrari. I mean, they're buried in the roots of you know, motor racing and Formula One. So.
Yeah. And it also makes it interesting for what happens to Carlos next with all the things that are moving on in Formula One with drivers shuffling around for 2025. So it'll be interesting to watch. But with that in mind, Stephen, do you have a favourite team?
No, not really. You know, I like the ebb and flow of it all, I suppose. And I like to see teams responding to rule changes and the tech that's coming through. And you see some of them pushing through. You know, you saw, as I said, you saw the Mercedes team pushing through. Mm. But, I mean, if you look at the Aston Martin now, that's a fantastic engine.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing great things there. So I like that interplay between the engineers and designers, the technology, and then, you know, these show pony drivers sitting on top of it.
Yeah. Okay.
I say that with admiration.
Well, they have become sort of celebrities these days. I think Drive to Survive, which is that Netflix series, has really shot them into a different era, really, where they are looked as real big identities.
I think Lewis Hamilton did that too, because he's, you know, he is a celebrity guy.
Yeah.
So I think compared with Max or something, I mean, Lewis, you know, has the vibe.
Yes, and I would say Daniel Ricciardo does too.
Yep.
Stephen, do you mind just giving us a brief run through of the history of Formula One and how it sort of evolved and where it is today? I mean, a lot of our listeners might not be Formula One fans.
Sure.
So,
well, it's an interesting thing because there are a few international sports which transcend sport and become culture. I mean, football is the obvious thing. You know, you can sit down anywhere in the world and talk soccer, as we call it in Australia, football, with anyone. And there are more Manchester United fans in Hong Kong than there are in Manchester, you know. So that transcends it. And Formula One does too, because it's a truly international sport. I mean, MotoGP does too. I've had some of the best MotoGP conversations with women in Malaysia who just completely understand the sport. So, you know, Formula One's a bit the same. I'm so interested that Megan's come to the sport.
Yeah, it was pretty unexpected, yeah. I guess, when I kind of dived into it. All my took my friends and family by surprise, because I don't necessarily look like someone who would.
Well, I don't know.
The part right now.
I don't know.
Yeah, right now.
To go back to your, so this is the point, I suppose. If you go back, look, you can go back to early car races from, you know, the 20s, 30s, 1920s, 1930s. It was 1946 it really sort of got clarity, and through the 50s, Formula One, as we begin to know it, was beginning, let me put it like that. Probably the great eras were in the 70s. Then, you know, and into the 80s, pretty simple cars, people understanding the skill of the driver more and more. But then there has been then this shift. So from cars which, if you like, had a clutch and had a certain driving style into the current era of cars which rely on downforce and the interplay with braking, it's a whole different game. So, and I think, you know, I think there has been an awareness. I've probably got my motoring helmet on, I should say, rather than that. There has been an awareness that, you know, Formula One has driven developments in technology. So hybrid came from Formula One, you know, if you like. So understanding that they're at the forefront of developing new materials, lighter cars, you know, and that feeds down. Honda's a good example.
Yeah.
That feeds down into their cars.
Yeah. No, that's very important. So it was born out of Europe. Was it the UK or was it?
Born out of Europe.
Yeah.
Born
okay.
out of Europe. But the home of Formula One is Silverstone for some of us.
Yes. But Ferrari has a big connection as well with Formula One, doesn't it?
Yeah, huge. Huge, that's huge. Right. So, well, right through Europe, you know, the connection to Formula One is intrinsic, certainly in Italy, and Spain, then Belgium, Netherlands. You know, those countries and Germany and Europe are really sort of the heartland of it.
Yeah.
But so much of the development came out of the UK, came out of Britain.
Yeah, and we're seeing it grow these days. I mean, last year, Formula One extended its outreach to the US even more so with the Las Vegas race, and that was quite a spectacle, but a very strategic move on their behalf. Would you guys be incentivized to go to the Las Vegas one, or are there other tracks or circuits that you would prefer?
I think I'm torn on that, because the Las Vegas track last season kind of caught some slack about the focus not really being on the race, but the entertainment side of it. I think it would be great to go to as a fan, but I think it wouldn't be my first choice.
No, I'm not torn on that at all. The Circuit of the Americas in Austin, 20 odd k's out of Austin, fantastic circuit. And I think, you know, I mean, this is where it backs into the Podwell travels. You know, Austin. There's also kind of, there's lots to do around there. You know this very well. We've just talked about
the US and
you know, Nashville
road tripping.
You're not so far away. I mean, you're a decent drive to the east of what we're talking about. But even so, you know, if you kind of come through that region, Austin, there's lots of Formula One sort of experiences that are reasonably affordable. Just to say to listeners to be aware that the Formula One experience you buy will probably be in a supercar or in a tin top, as we call them, you know. It won't be in a Formula One car, but certainly there's a number of those in Austin that are very good.
Yeah.
So you can back in, you know, you can stay on and do lots in some of these places, used as a reason, I suppose.
Yeah. And just on the way that the World Championship moves around, I mean, it was in Australia last week, it's in Japan next, and then I think it's China, and then we've also got Miami, Italy, Monaco, that will all be happening throughout May, and then it keeps going on. So there's, yeah, I think Canada, Spain, Austria, Great Britain, Hungary, Belgium, Netherlands, Italy again, Azerbaijan, Singapore, United States, Mexico, Brazil, Qatar and Abu Dhabi. So there is a lot of places that you can go and that this World Championship does go. So with that in mind, how would you suggest people start planning if they do want to sit trackside and do want to attend?
I think the you know, if you're really keen, look for a pair. Look for Spain and Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Different circuits, different kind of temperature, I suppose. Week apart, perfect.
Yeah.
So those kind of little clusters you can build a trip around are really interesting.
Mm. I think it also depends on your favourite driver and your favourite team. So you'd want to choose tracks that they would perform well at. So, for example, Red Bull are great on the long straights. So circuits like Baku and Azerbaijan and Yas Marina and Abu Dhabi would be better for them. Whereas, say, McLaren, they're not so great at the slow speed corners. And but they are in the high speed corner, so Jeddah would be a great track. So I think it's good to keep that in mind, depending on what their, I mean, for that year, what their strengths and weaknesses are, depending on how you want to see your favourite team perform.
Yeah, so consider the team, consider the circuit as well. But then how far in advance do you have to start really planning a trip like this? Can you buy tickets relatively last minute, or is it a year ahead that you sort of want to be thinking about it?
No, tickets will be released. It's like a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah. Which we have done a podcast episode on, if you'd like to listen.
Tickets are released in batches. Yep. So you can't necessarily, well, you can't plan to go to Singapore 2025 particularly. I mean, you might have the date, but that's all you'll have. So you just have to wait and get in the queue. You've got F1 website and F1 experiences, which package the tickets with accommodation even in some places. Mm-hmm. It does vary in different places. I think Megan's got some more say about that. But, you know, you've got to be kind of have a bit of a plan and then be waiting for tickets.
Okay.
The Australian Grand Prix, they've already opened a wait list for next year as well. So as soon as the Grand Prix was over last weekend, they opened up the wait list. So if anyone is interested in joining that, to be notified when the tickets go on sale for 2025. And it's confirmed to be the first race of the season next year. So yeah, they can join that wait list.
Okay. Yeah, that is interesting to know. So I wonder if a lot of other circuits tend to follow a similar formula, perhaps. I'm not sure, because it does change in every country. They've got their own ticketing systems, and the way that they go about it does change from country to country or city to city, and yeah, depending on the track.
I think that's a really important point, Penny, is that it's not one size fits all.
No.
So, you know, the Singapore system is very good, and the packaging there is very good because Singapore works. Other places will be less so. So Azerbaijan will be quite a different scenario if you want to go and watch a Grand Prix there and do other things there, for example. So I think that's it. You've got to be on, as you said, there's wait lists, you know, there's queues you can get into, and there's alerts that you can set up with wherever you're going. But we'll always be different. It'll be different.
Mm.
You know, I'm probably look for the, say, for the first, if you're just interested in the Formula One experience, I'm going to say, this is my personal take, you know, think about somewhere like Singapore, night Grand Prix, tens of thousands of lights, you know, huge kind of weekend festival. I mean, I've seen Rihanna there and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Geldof and goodness knows who. So they've always got stuff going on.
Mm.
Very good infrastructure. But getting quite quickly, because, you know, the prices will be high.
Mm.
I mean, you're going to, Formula One, you're going to pay. I mean, Monaco, you're just going to pay whatever they ask, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, when you're thinking about where you want to go to see the Formula One, do you stay local or do you go abroad? In Australia, where we are, Singapore would be an appealing one. Japan would be also another one that we can get to relatively easily. But if not, if you are going to Europe, why not piggyback it onto another one? So make the most of your time.
That's right. I think that's exactly a good plan.
It also depends on the season. So the Japanese Grand Prix would be a great one if anyone is interested in going to Japan to see the cherry blossoms, because it's during that season.
Yeah, it does land at that time, doesn't it, this year? Yeah.
Yeah, so that could be a double whammy, if you say.
Double whammy.
So, yeah, let's talk about circuits, I guess. Do you guys know what some of the top Formula One circuits are around the world? I mean, some would have to be more popular than others.
Yeah, there's a different, well, I used the word temperature earlier, and I'll probably stick with it. There's a different temperature, a different mood at different circuits. So, for example, Silverstone British Grand Prix is real motorsport. Monaco is just the most amazing weekend, and you can buy tickets there, you know, you can buy tickets to be sort of sitting on the back of a boat watching them go past. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Monaco's full of fantastic cars. People love their cars. They love driving. So you're kind of buying into a culture as well.
Yeah.
I think there. Probably just, you know, Singapore we've mentioned is a fabulous, I kind of think of that as a starter Grand Prix. For, you know, first people want to go and experience a Grand Prix, brilliant way to do it. I think once you get into the Americas, Las Vegas, I mean, I don't think I'm not in love with the circuit, but everything that goes around that will make a great experience. And also, you know, I tend to think that there's, you know, there's partners who may or may not be interested in the race as much as I am, and there's other stuff happening to do, which is great.
Yeah, accommodation there would obviously be relatively easier to get than somewhere, say, in Monaco.
Yeah, there's lots of accommodation. I mean, that's right. You're exactly right.
But then people do go to Monaco and then perhaps they even stay in Nice and then get transportation up. So there's a lot of logistical ways that you can get to different Formula Ones and plan exactly ahead. Right. So the atmosphere, would you prefer a street race, a night race, a regular track? What would you guys be drawn to? Or do you guys have a favourite circuit?
What do you like watching?
I mean, I've never been to a race yet, but if I had to choose, I would probably choose Monza because I'm a Ferrari fan and the Tifosi there are just incredible. The atmosphere would be amazing.
Yeah.
Or Silverstone to see Lando's home race as well. I think because I've never been, I can't really judge it, all of them, but yeah, what would you...
You're talking to the right person, by the way, the travel and motoring editor.
I think, look, you're right because some, you know, some of the newer circuits also kind of built for filming, you know, really. If you look at some of the Middle East circuits, I mean, you know, I don't think they're great viewing circuits. Street circuits obviously are, and the two that stand out, they use, as you say, Monza, or more than two. Monza's a great circuit. Monaco we've mentioned, and Singapore we've mentioned as great street circuits.
Yeah.
It does tend to be that the older, if you look at, well, Spain is fantastic because the Spanish just love Formula One. You know, I mean, it's just such a thing there, you know. So, you know, so much of it is about the excitement of the spectators and going there and coming back, you know. The whole weekend is just huge and red and, you know, exciting. So that's a big part of it. I'd go street circuit. Unless you're really happy to just sit there and watch cars going by.
Yeah, I think you actually have sold me on the Singapore because I've been to Singapore and you can go up in hotels and you can see where the track actually is. Everyone will point it out to you if you're there. And so you would get a good view even if you're not technically at the race.
Yeah,
even
well, that's right. And it's just part of the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And the race, I mean, the final race is a relatively short business, you know, and lots of people go and they're chatting and there's screens here and this concert going on there, this and that. And there's cars going by. You can see people aren't even looking at the cars. They've actually come for the concert. I was there once and came out, not late, but, you know, kind of tail end of the crowd. Walked out through the gates and there's like no one there on the street. And you go, well, where is everyone? And the answer is they've all gone back to their hotels and gone home because Singapore works. So they've all caught public transport and gone home.
Yeah.
And yes, I wonder, what we like.
Is that what Japan will be like? Where is that track? Is that a little bit out from...
Suzuka.
Yeah, but how far is that from Tokyo, is it?
Suzuka, you know, such an enormous history in motorsport. 24-hour races, you know, bike races. I've ridden bikes there too, and just fantastic. So I think that straddles the historic feel as well.
Mm.
And, you know, once again, in Japan, they just, you know, there'll be a great feel at that circuit. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question. What was the question?
How far is the track from Tokyo?
I think it's quite far out.
Megan's on it.
It's not near Tokyo, I don't think.
But once again, you know, public transport.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, it's staying nearby. I guess you'd have to research your different accommodation if you're not buying an all-inclusive sort of package with any circuit that you are planning on attending.
Something that's really good with the packages, though, and all of these circuits have – a huge number of packages. I mean, everyone's trying to do stuff around Formula... Not everyone. Lots of companies try to do stuff around Formula One. So they will include... Importantly, they'll include transport to and from the circuit. So, you know, you'll be picked up and you'll be taken to the circuit and dropped off a gate and picked up at the gate and brought back. That's really important because that work, if that works well, that's great. Mm. Lots of them will include, you know, drive experiences on the circuits, which might be later, or it might be somewhere else, another circuit. So, you know, there's all sorts of packages which come around that.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. You can also buy drive team packages. So you could buy into like an Aston Martin hospitality package. So you'd be in their kind of quarters above their garage. Yeah. So, yeah, you don't have to go for the grandstand or the in general, but you can go, yeah, for your favourite team or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have more of a tailored experience to what you want to see. Yeah.
Exactly.
So with that in mind, can you tell us about some of the ticket prices?
Yeah, packages? So it's through F1.com and it's F1 Experiences. So it's through the official kind of organisation. And I've had a look at the Japanese Grand Prix, Monaco and Silverstone for this year. Mm. And these are all prices based on grandstand packages for all 3 days of the Grand Prix. So the Japanese Grand Prix in late April ranges between 1,100 and 13,000. Monaco, what's left of the Monaco tickets, ranges between 800 and 29,000, and then
Australian dollars.
Yep. And then Silverstone in July ranges between 2,200 or 50,000. But it's worth noting that I guess we're already in the season, and a lot of these the tickets that everyone wants go pretty quickly. So that's just what's left. Mm. Because I think that Monaco, obviously, it would be more expensive to visit, but a lot of those packages, or you know.
That's right. Look, you're right. I think you'd start there with F1 Experiences. But then as you start searching, you'll find more and more companies that also package up some accommodation with it. And as I say, transportation, delivering, dropping off and picking up.
Yeah.
But that's a good place to start.
Yeah, okay. And I was just thinking about the race that was in Melbourne recently. Obviously, it is open to the public as well, even if you're not planning on seeing the race. So if you were around a circuit just by chance or something, you can sort of go in and come out over the weekends usually?
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. So you can just treat it as a festival.
Yeah, and it's worth noting as well, the Australian Grand Prix, they did release final release tickets like on the day that it started. So they do keep a batch. So if you've missed out on tickets, you can still visit and fly over or, you know, go and hope for the best.
Yeah, okay. You sort of mentioned that there's often music artists that do perform, and I don't know how that sort of works out, because that would be a big draw card for a lot of people if, like you said, the Red Hot Chili Peppers and things were performing.
Exactly. I've seen Foo Fighters there as well. So, yeah, exactly right. So you'll generally have several stages going.
Mm.
If we keep using Singapore as an example, I mean, you'll have probably three stages, then you'll have smaller marquees going, and there'll be a program over all 3 days.
And panel shows with drivers, I presume, as well.
Yeah, probably less of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they tend to stream the media events that happen with the drivers. Obviously, there's huge screens everywhere and you can see everything that's going on. So, you know, I've seen a lot of people at Grand Prix who haven't actually got a seat because they're just at the event, the car's going past, and they're watching the screens and wandering around, and they're just part of it without actually sitting in a seat. Look, and there's part of me that says, well, you know, if you're not a person who's just happy to sit in a seat on the straight and watch cars go by, then you wandering around watching the screens is probably as good or better. Choosing your seat's really important.
Mm.
Like, you know, if you can find a seat with an entry and an exit to a bend, and quite often with those, look for a tight bend, be on the apex, so you're seeing them coming towards you around the bend, then you're seeing them leave again, and quite often you've got another feature in the track after that, then that, you know, you got your money's worth. If you're just sitting on a fast straight, with tens of thousands of other people craning forward and the cars are just passing by in front of you, you're probably going to sit and watch the screens, you know.
You can blink and miss it almost.
Well, you can hear it though.
So you want to be where the action is. Well, that's where you would position yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, Singapore, there's a great spot. There's actually kind of very nice banked seating on those sorts of corners, and there's VIP hospitality sort of things you can buy, so you can be up quite high. So the higher you get, obviously, the more you see them come in and leave again.
Mm.
So you can kind of really be understanding what's happening in the race. But Formula One is pretty much all about braking, so being on a corner, that's where it happens.
Mm. Okay. And that's a good tip for people who are thinking of going. What do you have anything else, or is there anything else that you want to let people know that they should be aware of before attending their very first race in person?
I would love to know this. Because I've not been.
Look, I think, you know, I do think choose a race that either choose a race that really has a lot around it. It's quite easy to navigate, and, you know, because it all happens. There's a lot of people. It all happens very fast. I mean, the race happens very fast, hopefully. But the whole event sort of happens very fast. You've got to get in, find your way around the circuit, find your place. Mm. You don't want to just get locked into a seat and sitting there. So I think, as you say, Megan, Japan is a good bet. Singapore's a good bet. Or else be somewhere that you just want to be, like Monaco or like Spain or like Monza. If you just, you know, Silverstone's so easy because you can sort of stay at local hotels almost, you know, within a 50K radius and get in and out of Silverstone. Choose your package. I would decide to go all day. So you've got to be involved in the whole business, not just sit down and watch the race.
It's also worth noting, I guess, what races are the traditional format and which ones are sprint. So the traditional format is practice 1, 2, and 3 before qualifying, and then the race on Sunday. It's kind of builds up to the race. Whereas sprint weekends, you only get there and you get one practice to test all of their, you know, short runs, long runs, tire combinations, everything like that, before they have the sprint qualifying. And then there's a short sprint race, which gives the drivers an opportunity to score up to 3 more points, I think. Yep. And then there's just the race qualifying and then the race. So the sprint weekends, are quite different. They're much more fast-paced compared to traditional.
Okay.
And a few sprint weekends include the Chinese Grand Prix in late April and the Austrian Grand Prix in June.
Okay, so look out for those.
Can't go wrong in Austria.
Very true.
Can't go wrong.
It is a beautiful track, the landscape.
Beautiful country, you know, hire a car, go for a drive afterwards. Happy days.
Yeah.
Great food, little villages like Lek.
Yeah, I think we should be doing a story about when the races are on and what else is happening around that area at the time.
That would be great,
Yeah. So we'll put that one together for sure. So have we missed anything in terms of travel with Formula One?
I think what to bring. That's what I would be curious. Yeah. What would you bring to...
Bring a flask of tea, I think. What's wrong with that?
Well, depending where you are, maybe not in Singapore, you don't need.
I was back at Silverstone, sorry. I was back at Silverstone in the rain.
Umbrellas, obviously. You never know. Umbrella, what flask happen.
Of tea. Oh, emergency poncho.
Very happy.
Emergency poncho, yes.
Emergency poncho in case it rains. I did see online that quite a few fans bring like a portable little radio to tune into so they can hear the commentators.
Yeah. I think listening in is good. I'd wear a marshmallow jacket with Ferrari all over it if I had one. Wow.
You're right here.
How'd you get that?
Wonderful. And if you are listening, obviously, we are filming this for little snippets on TikTok and Instagram. So we will post something so you can see Megan in her wonderful Ferrari jacket.
Just the marshmallow jacket.
Yeah. So follow us on TikTok at @thepodwelltraveled and on Instagram @thepod_welltraveled.
Well, one final question, I guess, before we wrap up. But with Max having his issues last week, do you think he'll win the World Championship this year? Or do you think someone else might have a chance?
It depends on how delusional I'm feeling. I think Max will probably take it out, yeah. But here's to hoping that Ferrari put up more of a fight.
I'm still trying to get over the end of the Hamilton season, that Max moment. So... I'm trying to find all goodwill in me. I think so, yeah. I think Max has got it in him. But, you know, you just get a car softening. You just get a team, a car, the engineers just not quite getting it. These are so finely tuned.
Mm.
You can be just out and the car doesn't work, you know. So there's always that aspect to this.
Yes.
Yeah, who knows? But I think Ferrari and Red Bull, they have closed the gap a little bit this year so far from what we've seen. So hopefully Ferrari don't mess up the strategy going forward.
Going forward?
Yep.
You sound like a team boss then. Don't mess up the strategy going forward.
Well, you know what Ferrari are like. They can, yeah.
Okay, well, that's all for today then. We'll be back again next week. And obviously you can keep up to date with our stories if you head to thewest.com.au/travel.